Good evening, everyone. Some great people on tonight's call. I want to thank all of you for ringing in, like old homes night. It was like, what a great group of listeners tonight. Fantastic. This unequivocally will be a call of calls. It will go down in history because you are the audience that I've been looking for. Congratulations for showing up tonight. It was, like I said, I heard a collection of superstars on tonight's call. Perhaps it was the topic, the energy. Whatever it is, welcome, welcome, welcome. Fabulous to have some great content tonight and some absolutely first-class business owners, entrepreneurs, direct salespeople, and people from all walks of life dialing in from all around the United States, Canada, Australia, and the world. And I do want to recognize my good friend Bobby Robinson, 16-year listener who is on the call each and every Tuesday, no matter where he is. Tonight's call is dedicated to emotional stability and financial stability, how to bring the two together so that you have an energetic vibration that will attract your reality, people in situations that you can collaborate with in free enterprise, in life, for your business partners, your soulmate, and people from all walks of life coming together for common causes, creating contribution, reciprocity, and prosperity. That's what tonight's call is dedicated to. I will cover a few quick announcements, and we will move into the inspirational portion of tonight's call. This Saturday, I do receive the privilege of being able to speak in Big Sky Country. I want to thank Nicola Stodder, who is giving me the forum to speak in beautiful Bozeman, Montana. I did find two Italian restaurants in Bozeman, and I will be dining both Friday and Saturday night with some exceptional people in Bozeman. Now, that event is unequivocally sold out. I want to thank you, Nicola, for filling up the seats. Next Saturday, on April 23rd, one of my hometown of hometown, St. Louis, Missouri. I will be staying right at the airport at the Marriott Hotel, and I will be connecting with some great people on Friday and Saturday night. April 30th, Don Ferrantino and I will be in Norwalk, Connecticut. I've been going to Norwalk for 3 years. We have a great group of people coming to that event. On May 14th, Don and I will also be in Long Island, New York with Kelly Bartoletti and Joy Schoenholtz. Joy is absolutely crushing it in 2016. I will be in May 21st, I will be in Philadelphia, Pennsylvania with Don Ferrantino, Scott Aaron, and Joe DiBianca. I must say this, Scott Aaron is unequivocally crushing LinkedIn, and he is unequivocally someone that I would endorse if you're looking for a LinkedIn coach and someone who can greatly assist you to convert conversations into leads, into sales. Scott will be a featured speaker on my call in the month of May. I'll be in Atlanta, Georgia, June 4th. June 18th, I'll be in White Plains, New York. Now, those are some of the events that I have booked here in the early part of the summer. Now, August 6th, I will be hosting a Millionaire Blueprint event at the beautiful Caesars Hotel in Las Vegas, Nevada. That is at Caesars. I have a fabulous room. Sandy has assisted me to get a fabulous location, and it's going to be a great event. Now, this is going to be a little different this year. Tara Romano is going to be the keynote speaker who will be leading off the event Saturday, August 6th. I'll have other guest speakers who will share the stage with me, and then Susan Sly will be the keynote with me Saturday, August 6th from noon until 4. We may go a little later because we have some great speakers that will be in the audience as well. We don't have a timeline. We don't have to get out of there immediately. So that's going to be a fabulous event to really be the second half of the summer of 2016. The year is flying by. Look up and it's going to be May here really soon. May, June, then all of a sudden July, 6 months are gone. You want to have this year be the year of your life, the year that you turn the corner, you get compensated, and you really become that person that you deserve to be. Tonight's content is dedicated to prosperity, reciprocity, collaboration, and have a better understanding of cause and effect and why you do what you do. For those of you on tonight's call who are in the process of living free of debt, you may have purchased a home, you may have your first home, or you have a home, or you want to have money that creates results for you, you want to have money in motion, or you have multiple business ventures, or you're in the process of really becoming that entrepreneur you've always dreamed of becoming. You're in that process of letting go of a job that no longer serves you. You no longer want to do the commute. You no longer want to trade time. You want to turn time into result, time into value, time into relaxation. That can be done provided you learn to let go of anxiety. Anxiety are your feelings that you have based on the events that have shaped some of your identity. Anxiety is typically what keeps you in control of feeling out of control. Anxiety is going to be your anger, hate, resentment, guilt, shame, abandonment, rejection, and overwhelmed feelings. When you're in any of these anxieties, they typically lead to doubt. When you're in doubt, you'll use words like guess, kinda, sorta, and you will telegraph your uncomfortability, and you'll live in doubt, which your foot is on the dock and your foot is on the boat. Now, if you're in doubt, what you end up doing and being is a mixed message. Now, if you're in doubt, it tends to keep you overwhelmed. If you're overwhelmed, then it keeps you in a place where you're non-productive, and typically the emotion that will create is guilt, which is the lowest transmutation of energy. Your brain will take a look at an event. Your brain will create meaning out of event, hence the term, what does it mean? And what it means for many people is overwhelmed and anxiety. And if you have anxiety about an outcome that you try to control, then you end up out of control of the event you try to control, and you end up avoiding engaging. For you to become skilled at what you do, you must learn the rules of engagement, how to effectively engage people, how to engage yourself, how to be engaging. And you have to let go of talking to people. Although talking to people is a component of communication, it's not always effective. When you become skilled at engagement, that means you're skilled at opening up conversations. You're skilled at closing conversations. You're skilled at letting go of conversations. You're skilled at letting go of people in situations that don't serve you, because in your engagement, you're able to read a situation for what it is, because you no longer live in doubt, you live in trust. Now, when you live in trust, then you start to live in a place called intuit, meaning intuit. Intuit meaning you're able to trust your feelings, and you don't no longer rely on your logical, egoic left brain. It means you become one with, where both hemispheres of your brain come together, and you're not separate from your left brain and your right brain, you're one with. This is when your analytical mind and your creativity and your innovation can all come together. It's very important that you access your left brain, but it's very important that you don't live in your left brain. Unfortunately, what many people do is live in their left brain. They process, they think, they analyze, they get ready to get ready, and while they're getting ready to get ready, what that really does is leads to avoidance tendencies. In avoidance tendencies is where you create your doubt. Your doubt is your uncertainty. When you're certain, that's a different kind of belief. There's disbelief, then there is belief. Now, belief is a sense of certainty. When you're certain, you do not fail. When you're certain, you engage. When you're certain, you do not have gaps and delays in your communication style. When you're uncertain is when you check in and check out, and you and ah, and you say kinda, sorta, guess, and then you telegraph how uncomfortable you are, then the words I don't know tend to show up in your communication style. Now, when you know what you know, and you know that you are what you are, and you're not overwhelmed with the possibility of being and staying successful, but if you have anxiety about being and staying successful, then you'll doubt you'll be able to keep it. And your objective is not to keep everything. Your objective is to be in motion. Now, when you're a woman or a man in motion, and the type of motion that's effective, and you have energetic feelings of love, joy, bliss, and you live in your spiritual body, and you're in that kind of energy, and you're no longer in a job and a role that doesn't serve you, you're no longer in rush hour traffic where people are cutting you off, you're no longer wearing clothing that you don't want to wear, you're no longer around people you don't want to be around, your energy shifts, it changes. That means your spiritual being starts to come into place instead of your analytical left brain being that you tick-tock quietly through life and arrive at your grave safely. And it's your responsibility to be able to create these kinds of emotions so that you can start to create your financial wherewithal. Your dialogue with money will determine your ability to attract the people you can collaborate with to create it. You're not going to attract money necessarily. You're going to attract people that you can foster change. You're going to attract people that you can create enterprises with. You're going to attract customers who become loyal, branded customers. You're going to attract people who you can deliver service and value to. And once you start to understand that component of free enterprise, then you're no longer the mind-body connections to the events that created your anxiety. As you learn to step out of your anxious body, you also learn to step out of the diseases, the Crohn's disease, the Lyme's disease, and the other diseases that create cancers and MS and all the other situations that most of society lives in. When you start to eat clean, live clean, and feel clean, your body starts to detoxify itself. As you live in a non-toxic, unoverwhelmed state, your energy begins to change. All of a sudden, situations and people begin to show up. Once again, one of my exceptional clients, Abby O'Neill, let me know about one of the breakthroughs that she was having in a rank advance in her company. I've been watching people consistently start to make changes as they foster this. I've watched Dawn change. I've watched Vicky change. I've watched many of you on tonight's call change in the last 2 years. And change is not inevitable. Change is a choice. Change is a decision. Change is a commitment. Many people have anxiety about change because change represents the death of the ego. It's the end of the era. It represents the end of that which is familiar. And if, when you are going through change, change isn't difficult. Change is new. Change is an experience. Change is a process. As you begin to change your dialogue with yourself, the dialogue you have with other people, and you begin to change your dialogue with reciprocity and prosperity, well, then your dialogue with money begins to change. That means you feel that you deserve to receive. You're comfortable asking. You're able to deserve, receive, and ask. If you have challenges with those components, then that relegates you to giving and serving, which serving is still a great quality because day of service, that's what deserve means. And to serve, that's what deserve means, to serve. But you also have to bring value to free enterprise. And if you don't feel the value, then you're in a mixed message. If you feel valueless, low self-esteem, if you're overwhelmed in an anxious, toxic state, you'll attract your reality, people, and situations to fulfill the feelings of low self-esteem and disappointment, meaning you come from a very low energetic vibrational state. Unfortunately, most of society tiptoes quietly through life, emitting emotions and feelings at a very low vibration, somewhere about 25 cycles a second, up to about 200 cycles a second. That's about 80% of society. And out of those 80%, a large percent of those people are overwhelmed. They have financial challenges, they're in a lot of liability debt, they usually have health challenges, and they usually are in a toxic body consuming genetically modified organisms and trans fats. That's a large percent of society. Now, if you've stepped to the plate and you've decided to become the LOF, the law of the few, well, that means you're in the letting go process. Letting go cannot typically be explained. It has to be experienced. And as you're beginning to experience the letting go process, you're stepping into a no state. It means you know that you're letting go. You know what to let go of, and you stop questioning who you're being. You stop listening to people who de-edify you, question you, put you in a position that you have to validate, justify, and explain yourself. You create a different level of awareness, and you go, yes, I understand what's going on here. It means I know. When someone asks you a question, and they do it with a very hostile voice, or they do it with aggression, then you should know immediately that this person is putting me in a position to explain myself. Now, because you are you and you are free, you no longer have the mind-body connection to a passive-aggressive parent, sibling, or someone in your circle of influence that you have to be in friction with, in conflict with, be in the ring with, or have to prove wrong or right. When you're able to let go, you're able to agree with someone, not be in conflict with them, let them be right, and move on so you can be that person you're already becoming. It's very liberating as you start to experience this space. It's very liberating not to prove someone wrong. It's very liberating not to feel angry in the old body you used to be in. As you're in this new body, this new emotional vibrational state of spirituality, when you become one with and you start to develop a different set of skills and a different ability, people begin to show up. Now, as you experience this, it virtually can become effortless. Now, I'm going to explain that. It doesn't mean you just wake up and the world's at your doorstep. It means that your habits, your mindset and your skills start to come together where they're innate. It starts to come together. And many of you have experienced this on tonight's call. I know this because I've been with many of you 4, 5, 2, 3, and a year. And through my coaching and what you're learning from your mentors, and then what you're learning from yourself, and then what you're gaining from Infinite Intelligence, and what you're gaining from the quantum field, the Akashic Records, the books you read, the Tony Robbins events you go to, the Eric Worre events you go to, the company events you go to, the people you now are having in your circle of influence and affluence, then your energetic vibration begins to change. Then people begin to show up. Your communication improves. There's less gaps and delays in your communication. Now, this is when you start to have a quantum leap. Now, some of you are experiencing it in 2016, because I was there with you in 2012, 13, and 14. Now, I unequivocally watched Susan and Alexis have mythical, magical years. I watched Susan Sly have this very year in about 2006 and 7 where it all came together for her. I watched Alexis Romano do it in 2012 and 2013. I had the privilege of coaching Dawn Ferrantino today, and she and I were commenting what it was like in that time frame, 2012 and 2013, when the law of alignment comes together that creates a compounded effect. That can be your story. You want to say that. That's my story. This is my year. This is my year that I bring it together. This is my year that I let go of the control that keeps me out of the control. This is the year that I no longer let people dictate my results. This is the year that I'm able to let go of my job effortlessly and easily without anxiety about my 401k. I'm able to let go of my anxiety about my insurance package. I'm able to let go of my insecurities, and I'm able to create wealth in free enterprise on my terms and my time frame by the people I mentor, the people I develop, and the people I attract. As you begin to become the person that's no longer connected to the events that shaped your own feelings, you will begin to change your energetic, emotional vibration. Your telepathic message becomes clear. It's less of a mixed message. People begin to show up because the person you become, the way you write, the way you speak, the way you communicate, the awareness that you create, the understanding of what you're learning in the universe, the ability to trust, sense, and feel, you start to live much higher in a much higher resolution of sixth sense called extrasensory perception. You live in a known no state. You know, you K-N-O-W, and when you know, there is no doubt. And when you let go of your tendencies to over-obligate and over-give, you have clearer boundaries. You no longer let passive-aggressive people in your circle of influence. You no longer date them. You no longer hate them. You no longer mate them. Hate, date, and mate means you're able to forgive, let go, and move on. And when you're able to be that mind-body connection, then a different kind of person shows up that you're not in conflict with. It's the people you're in conflict with that rob you of your energy because they keep you in doubt. They keep you overwhelmed. They keep you guessing. They keep you wondering. And when you no longer give that person power, you're no longer the mind-body connection to the person has to be in conflict or emotionally addicted or overwhelmed or codependent or all the other energetic states that keep you emotionally addicted to a set of feelings that keep you less than. When you become one with, when you are whole, when you are innate, when you're in that kind of space, then you're a very relaxed being. You're being, you're not doing. But when you do, when you're doing, you're coming from a whole different level of energy. You're not trying to do. You're not forcing it. You're not trying to put the skeleton key in the wrong keyhole. You go, wow, this doesn't fit. Well, it doesn't fit because you have the wrong key, but when you have the right key, then all of a sudden the tumblers, that clunk happens, and the lock opens. That means the law of alignment. When that begins to happen, the signs and clues begin to show up in the journey. When you stop trying and you start being, when your language changes, when you stop saying, this always happens to me, I'm only working from a cold market, so henceforth, I'm only getting icy people. Well, if that's the words that come out of your mouth, to your reality, you will attract the people to fulfill your disappointment. As you're no longer disappointable, as you're no longer a victim, as you no longer worry about money because money doesn't worry about you. When you stop talking about being on the streets, I don't know what I'm going to do without my insurance policy. I'm not sure if I could quit my job. When you're not sure, you're in doubt. When you live in faith, when you start to separate yourself from the events that shape those feelings, when you change your view, I mean, you're always going to be the the view's always going to be the same unless you're the lead horse. When you start to step to the plate, when you move up in the line, when you change your vision, when you can see the horizon line, when you're able to see the vanishing point, when you have clearly defined short-term goals, when you have clarity in your communication, when you are certain, when you stop saying kinda, sorta, guess, I don't know. When you are clear with who you are, when you're able to communicate in 5 to 15 words, when you're able to ask the questions in a very relaxed emotional body, when you understand you're communicating with someone, it's one lead in the banquet of life. It's not someone to get attached to. It's not someone to get excited about. It's not someone to be worried about. What is the value of worry? There is no value. When you worry all the time, what you're really saying is you're overwhelmed all the time. When you're unorganized, undisciplined, there's a lot of uns. That means not. When you're not disciplined, when you're not organized, you'll have challenges ever mastering the moving parts of success. Success requires a very relaxed discipline. Success requires an attitude, an aptitude. Success requires you to learn the skills of success in your chosen vocation. Success requires that you be relaxed in your body. Success requires that you let go of being uptight, intense, angry, and all the other situations that fuel your emotional state. When you start to be that person you know you're capable of, all of a sudden you can see the 98-mile-an-hour fastball. Instead of it looking like a BB, it looks like a grapefruit. It looks like a softball. That's when you're able to crush it. When you're able to be innovative and creative, you can conceptualize and create on command. That means you're able to sense it, see it, touch it, feel it before it ever happens, and then you can create it. Then when you're in that space, you don't tell yourself, I don't know. I don't know how I'm going to do it. When you're able to let go of how do I, people say to me, I know you hate how do I. No, I don't hate how do I. I watch people live in their analytical, egoic mind. They want the technical know-how. When you've moved into a business that requires spirituality, technical know-how still has importance. But when you let go of the technical know-how and you start to trust your feelings, it's like if you're going to create leads, there's no real technical know-how to it. It becomes innate. Creating a lead is a niche. And as you learn how to create leads, as you learn how to write sales copy, now I've had people go, what was your ad? What was that ad you had on Craigslist? What was that ad you had in the newspaper? What was that roadside sign? Well, I mean, I can give it to you, but that doesn't mean you're going to get a result because there's many intangibles. First of all, the sales copy I write is mine. That's my intellectual property. If you're fortunate enough to let me loan it to you without you stealing it from me, because if you steal it from me, that means you're doing it out of integrity. Whenever you do anything out of integrity, you're already in a mixed message. And I mean, I'm recovering from not having any integrity. I was an addict for 14 years, a pathological liar, a sneak, a thief, a serial cheater, all the other situations that go with being an addict. And I mean, I can admit it today. I wasn't willing to admit it then. I was very embarrassed, a lot of guilt and shame for a number of years. But as I began to let go of that which I could not control, I couldn't control how people felt about what I did, and as I started to let go of control and learned that there is no control and that control and pressure is an illusion. What you want to be able to be is in your body, in the present, in the now. As you let go of guilt and shame, you will begin to attract people who don't show up as perpetrators. As you let go of being a victim, you won't attract the people who will victimize you. As you let go of being sensitive and defensive, your energy changes. You can attract a much more prosperous clientele. You can attract people who already own a business. They're already prosperous. They have multi-skills, multi-task, and they have a clearly defined reason why they want to create an additional stream of income, and they can do it effortlessly without you being the issue. But if you have to be the issue of someone else's issue, then you're trying to control the control that keeps you out of control. When you let go of that kind of control that keeps you overwhelmed and out of control, you'll attract your reality, people, and situations that will foster the change that you're becoming. But when you resist change, you're really resisting being the person that would be responsible. It's not success or failure that you have anxiety about. It's the actual anxiety about being responsible, it hinders most people. Because you have this story in your head, that's like, I can do it once, but I'm not sure if I can do it twice. Well, twice hasn't happened. Once is today. That once today is what you build on, because that's the repetition experience that creates the compounded effect. The compounded effect that you're seeking to create, that kind of change, comes from you learning how to write, learning how to speak, and then most importantly, learning this, the Zen, the inner game. Joe Alonzo at many events will go, Jeff, cover the inner game. Well, the inner game is the Zen. It's the yin and the yang. It's the zone. It's the hands-free zone. It's a known no state. It's the no state where mythically, magically, synchronicity becomes synchrodestiny. It's an effortless state of equanimity where two people are walking toward you and they're going to attack you and you smile and walk between them. That means you become the it factor. It means those things don't happen to you anymore. You don't get violated. You don't have perpetrators show up. You're able to neutralize people very easily and effortlessly with the person you're becoming. You don't give energy to situations that do not foster change or do not empower you. You let go of disempowerment and disempowering people. You address some of the people in your circle of influence. You learn to let them go without feeling guilty. And when you start to learn to do this, all different type of people and situation begins to show up. Emotional stability comes from you being aware. If you're not aware, you're in denial. And if you're in denial, you'll ask a lot of how do I questions. How do I? How do I? How do I? As you start to have peripheral vision, you see out of the corners of both eyes, you begin to have a better understanding of cause and effect, why I do what I do. You understand how events have shaped your feelings. You're able to objectively look at a situation for what it is and what it was. You stop protecting the perpetrators in your family. You stop telling yourself how great someone is even though they violated you, and then you take them off the great shelf and you put them down here on the human shelf, and you're able to look at a situation for what it is. You don't have to confront someone. You don't have to show them up. But what you do is you learn to get honest with yourself, and it's that kind of rigorous honesty that will create a rigorous awareness. That kind of awareness that you're seeking starts to create a different way that you view situations. It means your perception, your personality is a direct reflection of your personal reality. That was a direct quote by the great Dr. Joe Dispenza. Now, those of you on tonight's call have the privilege of seeing Dr. Joe a little over 3 weeks ago, understand exactly what I'm covering here tonight. And the more you understand why you do what you do, that's when you can start to master the inner game. The inner game is where you start to become so skilled that you are the skill of the game. It means your reflexes become so quick in a relaxed body that people barely know what happened. When you have those kinds of reflexes, someone will say to you, this sounds really good, but I don't have the money. And you go, Jim, if you did have the money, would you get started? You don't ever show people up. You're in a person that's so relaxed in your body that you're able to foster change by the person you're becoming. When you're this kind of person, people virtually buy from you because the energy you transmit and transmute. When you're not coming from desperation, you come from inspiration. When you're coming from love, joy, bliss, and you're coming from a place of peace that's power, then people want to be part of what you're doing. When you're in power, you're not disempowered. When you're empowered, then people sense, they feel it, they want to buy from you. But if you have a gap and a delay in your communication, if guest shows up in your communication frequently, then you're telepathically sending a mixed message. And until you're clear what it is you seek, then you can't attract what you don't know. If you don't know what you want and you're uncertain where you want, well, you don't get anything. You stay right where you are. You don't move forward. There's no centrifugal force. There's no undertow that happens. There's no quantum leap. There's no sum that's greater than the whole of part. And there's no movement. And instead of action, you're in inaction, getting ready to get ready, waiting for that perfect script, waiting for someone to give you permission, waiting for someone to tell you what to do, waiting for the upline that never supported you start to support you. If you're in that inside leg, upside down, going backwards, in your reverse marginal pay plan, and you're sitting around talking about how bad off you are, and no one's giving you any love, no one's giving you any money, and this always happens to you, you're right, it does, because that is your law of attraction. Until you can really look in the mirror and say, I'm a victim, and I'm no longer going to be the victim, was the mind-body connection. the people that took advantage of me. When you're able to let go of being a victim, then you can start to become the victor that you deserve to be. When you let go of force, the type of force that requires a counterforce to have you in conflict, when you're no longer that mind-body connection that has to be in conflict consciousness in a constant state of overwhelm, battling for your life because someone is always screwing you over, when you're able to let go of that kind of dynamic and you move into a place called peace, that's your power. That's the kind of power that you can drop a 22-foot jump shot. You can bounce the ball between your legs, behind your back. You can freeze your opponent. It's nothing but net when that's you. When you have that kind of power, you can flick your wrist, hit a home run, circle the bases, sit in the bench, put your glove on, put your sunglasses on, go out and play the next inning like you've played it a million times before. When you have that kind of relativity, when you have that kind of energy, you can show up and what many people consider a bad event is just an event. I don't ever take a situation personally or infrequently because it's one event in the banquet of life. And so when you live in a place called it's relative to who you are, then you're able to overcome a challenging situation, and then it doesn't linger. But when you spend a lot of time on what happened, when you spend a lot of time on who's not giving you the love, when you stay in that kind of situation, then you're going to have a dialogue with asking, receiving, and deserving that does not foster the kind of reciprocity and prosperity that you are seeking to create. If you own a business and you're on this call tonight, you're in business for a few reasons. You're going to have your own whys that make you cry. Most importantly, you have to understand this. When you own a business, you must have a business for profit, because every January 15th, every April 15th, every June 15th and every September 15th are your taxes. You have to pay your estimated taxes. When you're in business for yourself, then you have an EIN number, an employee identification number. When you're no longer a sole proprietor, when you're the president and founder of your LLC, your limited liability corporation, your S-Corp or your C-Corp, then you're the top shareholder. That also means you must be your best employee. You're going to pay yourself a payroll check on every first of the month. You may take it twice a month. I typically take mine at the first of the month. You can have a payroll tax because you're in business for yourself. But if you're in the NFL club and you're creating no profits, then you have a nonprofit organization from the discomfort of your home. As you begin to rank advance in your company, as you begin to create traffic online, as you start to list homes in real estate or whatever business model that you're in, as you start to have clients and customers show up to be your coaching clients, if you start to sell intellectual property online, then you're in business to create profit. Profit's going to be driven by your service and your value, your content, your word, your interest. When you're interesting, people will begin to follow you. Facebook, social media, LinkedIn, Twitter, all of these type of social media forums and these tribes that you're seeking to create are going to be a direct reflection of the content you deliver, the value you deliver, how interesting you are, the content that people see. When people start to follow you, then you start to create your culture. As you start to create your culture, then you have the opportunity through the law of averages to be able to take your products, services, goods, benefits and features to free enterprise in the marketplace. If you're representing another company, if you're an associate distributor of a network marketing or direct sales company, you're unequivocally in a great place where you have very little to no overhead. You shouldn't have an employee unless you're achieving $250,000 to $500,000 or more. Someone is going to do your errands. As a CEO and president of your corporation, you're in business to create profit through value and service. Now, if you're marketing someone else's products and services in a network marketing company, direct sales company, you unequivocally have low overhead. You should have systems within the company, within your teams. You should be able to create traffic relatively quickly. You should be able to close sales in one or two, three conversations. You should be able to find a price point in your company that's conducive to you feeling good about what you're marketing. The benefit and feature you're marketing, the customer should get a good experience from them, so you should be marketing a package and a price point that's conducive to you doing that. Somewhere between $500 to $1,000 is typically where you should be starting from. And if you have a dialogue with money that's not conducive to attracting customers who see that price point, then that's going to be a direct reflection of your dialogue with money, your broke thoughts, your poverty consciousness, your worry, your concern about Is there value, and is someone going to get hurt? Is someone going to fail? When you have that kind of dialogue with money, you'll attract your reality, people in situations to fulfill your disappointment. When you start to understand the money pyramid that gets created in America, you're talking about the educational platform and the real estate platform. The biggest money Ponzi in the world is real estate and education. When the government comes together and colludes with the lending institutions and the educational systems to put a price tag in education around 8%, you should start to wonder what's really going on, because that's a front-loaded loan. That means you'll be paying that loan off for many, many years, and this is why you want to be able to be free of debt. You want to be in a position that you seldom, if ever, borrow money. You want to become your own bank, and to become your own bank, you have to bank on your business. And if you're not banking on your business, then you don't have trust, you don't have faith, and you don't have belief. I was coaching a woman recently who was telling me how worried she was about giving up her job, how worried she was about giving up her benefits. And I said, have you ever considered that owning your own business gives you the benefit of getting rich? She goes, what about insurance? I go, what the fuck? I mean, what about insurance? Why do so many people worry about insurance? Here's why. Because they worry about the unknown. You've been conditioned to worry about what if. What if I get cancer? Well, what if you don't? Why would you even want to speak that into existence? Well, what if I lose my job? Well, quit. Then you don't have to lose your job. You fired your boss. When you focus on the what if, you attract your reality, the very situation you seek to avoid, to fulfill your scarcity mindset, your poverty consciousness, your broke thoughts, and your low self-esteem. When you let go of the anxiety that keeps you overwhelmed and anxious, you'll attract your reality in a higher law of average, people and situations that you can collaborate with from the energy you're transmitting. But when you're in a mixed message, you'll attract people to fulfill those feelings. When you let go of that mixed message, then the 80% will stay the 80%, but the 20% of who you attract begins to change. But if your 20% is your 80%, then that's a direct reflection of who you are and what you attract. I'll break this down for you. 80% of what you create is going to come from 20%. 20% of what you create will come from 80%, the 80-20 Pareto principle. Now, 80% of what shows up in life is not your responsibility. That is the 80%. If you get on an airplane and the plane is late, you didn't attract it, but if several planes in a row are late, then that's a direct reflection of what's going on with you. Now, only that would happen to you because you project it. My planes are always late. If you're always late, then that's a direct reflection of who you are. If being late is your identity, then that's what you create. But in the 80%, 80% is the 80%. You don't attract the 80%, that's the 80%. It's the 20% that shows up that is your law of attraction. But if in your 20% it's 80%ers, that's a direct reflection of your insecurities, your low self-esteem, your addictions, your emotions, and your anxieties. As you begin to let go of some of these feelings, then you'll change your 20%. Now, in your law of averages, meaning this, you know, what's showing up? Take a look at who you married, who you dated, who your grandparents were, who your friends were in grade school, high school, junior high, college, who your friends were in your 20s, 30s, and who your friends are now, your circle of influence. Your wealth factor, or your prosperity, reciprocity, your net worth, and your assets are typically a direct reflection of people in your circle of influence. Then you also factor that you spent 20,000 meals with relatives, friends, families, and schoolmates. You had a lunch at school. You had a lunch in the dorm. I mean, you had lunches. You had dinner at home. You had dinner at fast food places. I mean, who did you associate with? Well, a lot of your associations are going to create a lot of your mindset about money, reciprocity, and prosperity. So you want to also take a look at who mentored me and who modeled me when it came to my dialogue with money. And you also have to take a look at this. How much anxiety do you have about money? Money has no anxiety about you. Money is an inanimate, neutral, non-object. Money today is paper and some coins. Most of money is mythical. Most of money is transmuted overhead by satellite 150 miles away into bank accounts. It's all numbers in the account. You can't even go into a bank and take out a certain amount of money without an Internal Revenue Service being notified. You can't bank wire a certain amount of money without the Internal Revenue Service being monitored. You can only take a certain amount of money crossing a border, tangible, lawful, legal money. It's a whole paradox, the whole money game. The more you understand the money game, the real pyramid that gets perpetuated by the governments, the lending institution, the educational systems and societies, then you will learn how to create free enterprise on your terms and your time frame from the comfort of your home. That's when you start to bring your value, your service, your intellectual property, your ideas, your innovation, your creativity, and most importantly, your intellectual property. That is your idea. When you start to brand you, brand your message, brand your idea, brand your trademark, brand your corporation, you start to become brandable and you start to write, speak, dictate, be able to develop ideas, and you start to create that kind of machine. When you begin to post, you have a system, a routine, and you start to live in routines and systems. You become methodical, and you start to create a culture. Your attractor factor changes. All of a sudden, your tribe, your culture, you start to grow from 1,000 to 2,000 to 5,000. I have a client who is a marketing manager for a woman's page. Her page in a 14-month period went from 25,000 likes to over 500,000 likes. Now, that's someone who really understands the skills of marketing. When you start to come from that place, when you come from that value, that service, you're no longer the mind-body connection to the anxious events that shaped your anxiety. Your anxiety unequivocally robs you of your brilliance. Your anxiety robs you of your ideas. Your anxiety keeps you in a place called doubt, keeps you overwhelmed, and separates you from the person you're capable of becoming. When you have your foot on the boat and the foot on the dock, there's unequivocally no way you can succeed. When you have to think it over, analyze it, you don't trust your feelings. When people ask me, so what do I get with coaching with you? I mean, if you have to ask me that question after I just did a 15-minute coaching session with you, then I'm definitely not the right coach for you. If you didn't grasp what just happened right then, that just lets me know typically how checked out a large percent of the population is. When you check in and let go of being checked out, then you're no longer in your head. You're in your body. When you're in your body, then you have a much greater opportunity and responsibility, ability to respond, to sense and see what's going on. When you're checked out, you miss the signs and clues of what's going on in a communication. When you're checked out, you're already anxious and worried about the outcome before it's happened. Then you miss the telepathic messages that's being emitted and transmitted in by the person you're communicating with. You miss the buy signals. You miss the person who's showing no interest. Then you feel the person needs what you have, and you beg, stalk, chase this person when they're not a non-qualified buyer. When you let go of this kind of dialogue with scarcity and poverty consciousness, then you will begin to attract a whole different type of person to your reality. But if debt has been your identity, if you grew up in debt, debt's a way of life, you're always in debt, and most all of your money is going to go to interest and taxes, that's unfortunately where most people's money go, and then they have no assets, they have liabilities, they have no investments, they don't really understand the market. Just today, I was moving money around, meaning money in motion, dispersing money to multiple accounts from multiple investors so that I have a diverse program. Now, this can happen to you as you start to have a wealth consciousness. When wealth becomes a factor, that's the wealth factor, that's the title of one of my books, The Wealth Factor. When wealth becomes a factor, when you learn to accrue wealth, so you have assets, tangible assets, real estate, investment properties, intellectual property, branded goods, when you have ideas, when you have fan pages that create multiple streams of income, when you start to have real estate, you own a gym, you own businesses, when you start to have this type of situation, this becomes money in motion. When money is stagnant, money is stale, when you have that kind of dialogue with money, then you GBM, or you just get by. When you just get by, or GBM, get by money, when you live in get by money, then you typically trade time for debt. And that's unfortunately what most people do. They trade time for debt. They trade their time to get paid to be and stay in debt. And most of the debt you're in is interest debt. Seldom, if ever, does the American populace pay off a property, because they typically take out whatever asset they have to pay off another debt. Most of society moves their debt around. They stay in debt, never really let go of debt. And when you're in debt, you're in anxiety. This is why when you buy a property, you definitely want to consider a 15-year loan. It's a misunderstood loan. Most people think because it's half of a 30-year loan that it's a double payment. It's not. It's much better for your prosperity. First of all, if you're on a 15-year loan, you're going to pay a little more than your typical loan, and the payment that you pay on top of what used to be a 30-year loan is going to pay into the principal. When you start to understand that reality, it's not a concept, it's a reality. When you start to get money right, when money becomes a dialogue that's healthy, when you have a money consciousness, when you don't go out and buy a big home and get in big debt. Unfortunately, a lot of people who are nouveau riche, means new rich, they run out and they buy something big to reward themselves because their self-esteem is still low. And then unfortunately what they do is they put themselves right back where they were. I see many people go out and they buy their first home on a 30-year loan. They put down a very small payment, and they don't understand that the money they're going to be paying for the first 11 years is all interest. When you start to have a dialogue with money that's conducive to attracting people that you can connect with, collaborate with, that are already prosperous, when you keep saying, I'm tired of being broke, when you keep saying that, when you edify how broke you are, when you're worried about being broke, what you're really worried about is being broken. The word broke comes from broken, and when you're broke, you're broken. And this brokenness inside that you keep feeding through the stuff, feelings, and the situations like this, you'll attract your reality, people, and situations to fulfill your being a victim, fulfill you being overwhelmed, to fulfill the situation that keeps you doing the same situation. When you can put the brakes on, when you can say, that's not me anymore, I am so done with this. When you can let go of the control that keeps you out of control, when you can take a deep breath into an emotional state called anxiety and let go and say, I'm no longer going to live like this, when you can stop saying, how do I, and you go, why don't I? When you can come from why don't I, when you can step into that space, when you can sweat from your brow, not from how much work you're putting into it, because of how much passion is coming out of you, when you can exude that kind of passion, when you can bring it, when you can come from I will not be denied, when you stop focusing on how this isn't happening for you, well, it's not happening for you because you're not committed. You can't commit until you're committed. When you go, I'll try. When you have no voice, you have no power. When you come from that space of no power, people don't buy you. Power is misconstrued. First of all, power is not physical. Power is not linear. Power is emotional. Power is spirituality. Power is emotional, etheric energy. It's white light energy that's delivered that says, join me. When you're able to say, or when you're able to state, are you ready to get started? When you have that kind of posture, when you're able to say, you know what? That doesn't qualify for what I'm doing. I'm going to go ahead and let you go. When you let go of offending someone, when you let go of your anxiety about confronting and confrontation and all these other stories and wives' tales that were handed down to you by people who are less than, who seduce you into being as less than as they are, when you let go of a lot of societal gibberish and other situations that's been handed down to keep you broke, broken, overwhelmed, and the person that just tiptoes quietly through life and cannot even pay for their funeral, when you let go of those situations, then you're no longer the mind-body connection to the events that shaped your anxiety. When you're not anxious, you step into a different kind of awareness. That kind of awareness breeds spirituality. That's where your creativity and your innovation comes from. When you have a why that empowers you, that isn't the kind of why you've been guilted into, I want to go out and help people, I want to pay it forward, okay, right? So I'll give merit to that. But when you can have a why that's personal, that really has meaning for you, something that your brain can say, I mean that, I really mean that, I really deserve that, I desire that, I can create that, I'm beyond wanting that. I own it. When you begin to take ownership of your life, when you own what's about to happen, when you come from that type of ownership, that's not entitlement. There's a big difference between entitlement. Entitlement is when you think you deserve it, you haven't really paid the price of it, and you're disappointed because the situation doesn't happen that you think you should. When you come from jealousy, when you come from piety, when you come from that kind of situation, and you'll look at other people and then you feel less than because they got something you don't have, but you feel you should have it, that does not attract the kind of people you require. When you let go and you can embrace other people's successes, when you're glad for them, when you're empowered by them, when you're part of a team of people that are moving forward, and you stop saying, I can't believe I'm where I am, believe it, look at your feet, you wouldn't be there if you weren't supposed to be there. If you were supposed to be up there on that stage, you'd be there because you'd produce yourself there. Shut up and produce. Outproduce your problems. These are metaphors and affirmations that I've been using for years. Don't get too excited about your success. Be inspired by your success. Inspire others by the person you are becoming. You don't get people to do anything. You're not a getter. You're not a G-E-T-T-E-R. You're a leader. Lead by example and see who follows. Meet people where they are and don't say, I want to get everyone to success. I want to take everyone with me. It's not possible. You set yourself up before you failed. Lead by example, see who follows. Devote energy to people who deserve it, not the people who are desperate. Desperate people have desperate measures. Understand that. And you can tell when someone's quitting by the way they talk. You have to learn to let people quit and without you feeling like you failed them or they're failing. People quit because they quit on themselves. People quit because they don't commit. People quit because they're not ready. I've quit. I've quit a time or 10. I've failed several times. I went back and got a job, a very humble experience, one time and realized I would never do this again. For the first couple weeks I was relieved. I go, that little play check, $3,000 a month. This was 1994. I got a little play check for $3,000 a month, just enough to pay my bills. And I was so relieved to be able to pay my bills because I hadn't been paying them for a couple months. I was like, I can pay my bills. And after another month, I'm like, I'm paying my bills. That's all I'm doing. I'm paying my bills. I forgot how to dream. I was relegated to living in a tiny little apartment, about 600 square feet, a pocket door, you know, the kind with the kitchen in the living room, on the side wall, the cabinets built out, and you can watch your TV as you look out over your sink underneath the cabinet. You can watch the NFL. I was prospecting in my kitchen, in my living room. When your kitchen in your living room is one and it's about 600 square feet, you got to really say, wow, this is where I've dropped all the way down to. Now, if you're living in Manhattan in a 600 square foot apartment, that's a different situation. But I was living in Stockton, California, right next to a 7-Eleven, where a heroin dealer and a prostitute were on the same side of the street commiserating. And said, I could look out my window and go, wow, this is where I'm relegated to. This is where I've dropped all the way down to, from the penthouse to the outhouse. And it was a very humbling experience. And people said to me, how did you overcome that? By the pain was great enough. I hit rock bottom a couple of times. It's a very overrated place to be, but then this situation can happen. When your will is greater than your problem, when your desire to overcome whatever situation you're in is greater than the situation you're in, when the sum is greater than the whole of its parts, when you're ready to have a quantum leap, 2 plus 2 equaling 16, when you just know, you know it, you K-N-O-W, when you say I'm done with doubt, when you've let go of doubt, and when you know you're destined, when you know you have it, when you will know that you will not be denied, when you know that, when you have that power, when that spit comes out of your mouth, and you go, oh, I'm sorry, I didn't mean to spit on you, but when you spit, the spit that comes out of your mouth is passion spit. You didn't mean to spit on someone. It's because you have so much frickin' juice you're ready to do something with it. It's like, give me the ball, I'm going to score 30 tonight. Get on my back because I'm going to carry us. See, when you can actually carry a team when you come from that kind of energy, from that kind of belief, from that kind of power. And your objective is not to carry the team for the rest of your career, but sometimes you can be that one person that steps to the plate and says, I got it, bring it on, follow me today, I'm here. See, leadership is influence. When you start to have that kind of influence, you'll attract affluence. But when you have no influence, you won't attract any affluence. You'll attract people in the same kind of emotional situation that you're in to fulfill your low self-esteem, your disappointment, your poverty consciousness, and your broke thoughts. When you operate from that kind of energy, you'll attract your reality, people, and situations to fulfill your low self-esteem, your emotionally addicted state. You'll attract people that are codependent, not independent. You'll attract people who are addicted dieters and addicts of various and sundry forms. You'll attract addicted debtors and other people who won't have the money to go to the seminars or rallies and conventions because of your own brokenness. As you begin to heal that brokenness inside, as you're no longer the mind-body connection to the people who violated you and took advantage of you, as you're no longer the mind-body connection to the people who controlled and took advantage of you, as you're no longer the mind-body connection to the person who attracted passive-aggressive personalities, so you can feel less than and in conflict with, as you're no longer in conflict consciousness, as you live in reciprocity, prosperity, as you change your ability to ask, receive, and deserve, you'll attract your reality, people, and situations who will show up. Those type of people that show up typically are independent. They are self-starters. They're self-inspired. They typically have clearly defined goals. They do not require a lot of energy from you. You can typically be friends with them, collaborate with them, spend small pockets of time masterminding with them as they begin to foster their own change. They begin to bring to their reality a culture that creates that kind of change. That's why any kind of leverage business is one of the most spiritual experiences you'll ever experience. As you begin to rank advance, you don't rank advance in a direct sales company or a sales company because of your production. You rank advance because of your production coupled with the production of the team that you're creating. This is when the law of alignment comes together and creates a mastermind of lions, one of more of like mind coming together for common causes. As you start to see people in your team flourish, well, naturally, your check will start to grow. Not only your check, but the checks of your others. And see, when you're not checked out and you're checked in, the checks grow. When you're checked out, you get no check. When you're checked in, you start to attract your reality. People in situation have a different dialogue with money. They're not guilty about it. They're able to come together and they become a whole different kind of prosperity, a whole different kind of money flow. They're typically not in a lot of liability debt. They don't come up with excuses about going to events. They don't talk to you about how broke they are. They don't want to share a room with 19 people. They're the kind of person that wants to get a junior suite with an ocean view. That's the kind of person that you deserve to attract. This is the type of person that's able to attract a first-class seat on a flight. This is the kind of person that's fun to be around. When creating wealth is fun, when you view it as this. But if you don't view money in a healthy perspective, then you'll have challenges attracting it because you'll be guilty. You'll have challenges attracting people that you create that kind of change with. When your dialogue with money starts to become in alignment with the person that you are, you no longer have guilt and shame about your ability to attract and create people you can create it with, and you begin to attract your reality a different type of person that you can collaborate with. There is no competition in collaboration. When you're in a collaborative state with like-minded individuals, this is when you create a culture. This is when 4 or 5 people show up at one of your events, and all of a sudden 4 or 5 become 15, 15 becomes 60, and all of a sudden you look up and at one of your events you have several hundred people at one of your events, and you're getting compensated, or they're getting compensated. My name is Jeffrey Combs. I am the president and founder of Golden Mastermind Seminars Incorporated. It has been my absolute privilege and pleasure to be able to assist you in fostering change this evening. If you're on this call and you've ever considered hiring me to be your coach, I do offer free 15-minute coaching sessions to first-time callers who are serious about finding out more about what I can assist you with. If that is you and you're on tonight's call, you can call me directly. I'm going to be up producing for a couple of hours at 209-932-0227. 209-932-0227. Provided you're serious and you have a question you want to ask me, feel free to call me. Have a great evening, everyone. I look forward to seeing you in beautiful Bozeman, Montana this Saturday, St. Louis, Missouri, April 23rd, in Norwalk, Connecticut, April 30th. Have a great evening, everyone.